Well, amen. I hope that you will open up your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 28. We're going to be looking at the last verses of the book of Matthew, verses 16 through 20. And I'm concluding the series that Josh started at the beginning of the year, where he began out of Isaiah, talking about when Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, God in his mighty temple, and the seraphim around him, and crying, "Holy, holy, holy." And he started with the simple statement, "I will," and got that from where Isaiah said, when God says, "Who will I send and who will go for us?" And basically, he says, "Here am I, Lord, send me." And he was saying, "Lord, I'll go, I'll do it." And Josh tried to get his understanding that that should be our attitude. We should be saying, "Lord, I will. Whatever you call me to do, I will." And then he followed that up with, "I will grow," because it's our responsibility as believers to grow in our relationship to the Lord, to grow in our knowledge of the Lord, to grow more and more like the Lord in our life. We need to be growing as believers, and we need to be getting closer and closer to the Lord, and that's something that sometimes we fail to do. And then last week, he talked about a subject that everybody enjoys, "I will give." And so today, get your wallets out, and we're going to give. No, I'm kidding. Because he wasn't just talking about giving our money, but he's talking about giving our time, giving our talent, giving of ourselves to the Lord in service. So today, I have the concluding message in this series, "I will go." So let's look at Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen.'" I will go. At this point in our scripture, at this particular point in the book of Matthew, Jesus, already having died on the cross of Calvary for our sins, was buried in that tomb, and then 3 days later, he came up victoriously alive, still alive today, and he's getting ready at this particular point in the scripture to go back into heaven, to sit at the right hand of the Father. Back in verse 10 of this chapter, Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." So this prearranged meeting that Jesus has with his disciples has been set, and it is on the place of the on a mountain where Jesus had appointed it. So when they come together, they're waiting for Jesus to come, waiting for Jesus to speak to them. And I think it must have been a very sacred time when the risen Lord comes and meets with his disciples on this particular mountain that he had already set up beforehand for them to meet with him there. Now, the words that Jesus gives in this setting are so very important to us. I hope that you understand how important these words are. In fact, these words really bring to a focus everything the Christian faith is all about. If you misunderstand or if you fail to apply what Jesus has said in these verses, then to a large extent, you've missed the whole point of what the Christian life is really about. We're familiar with these words. I think most of us are. We're commonly referred to them as the Great Commission. Unfortunately, today, in many churches in the world, we could call this the Great Omission, because there are many churches that have deviated from the New Testament pattern, and they have not taken seriously the Great Commission of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So here's what Jesus has told his churches. Here's what Jesus has told us as believers that we're to do until he comes again. He says, go. Now, too often, churches, and I'm afraid we're included in that, we get involved in secondary things. Now, they may be important things. I'm not going to say they're not important things. They are important things, but the most important thing is what Jesus tells us to do here. This is the most important thing. And the bottom line of the Great Commission that Jesus has given to us, we find in these words that I read to you this morning. Everything that we do as a group of believers, as a church, should revolve around the Great Commission for our Lord to lead people to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we lead them into a growing, maturing, productive life as a believer. That's what the Great Commission is all about. So Jesus is getting ready now to give his disciples the most awesome, the most stupendous assignment that any group of individuals has ever had on this earth. And he begins by saying to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. He has the authority to give us this commission. Now, I met with Michael yesterday, my former youth pastor. When Josh started this series, when he talked about I will, why should we? Because Isaiah saw God. God, the omnipotent one, the omniscient one, the omnipresent one, God in all of his splendor. Why do we serve him? Because he is God. There is none like him. There never will be. Jesus is saying here, all authority is given me. Why? Because he is God. He says, I am giving you the authority to go to the world. Now you'll notice in verse 19 and the first part of verse number 20, Jesus in a very simple and systematic manner kind of lays out his plan. We're going to see his plan. And he shows us just exactly how we're to go about this assignment that he's giving us. And he has some statements that I want to share with you today that we're going to be looking at. The first part of the Great Commission is going, because he says in verse 19, go therefore. Now the verb translated there to go is in the aorist, it's an aorist participle, and it can be translated this way, as you are going. As you are going. That statement here is not only in a command, which it is a command, but it's also an assumption. You see, Jesus just seems to be assuming here that you and I will understand that as believers, we have a responsibility that as we are going about our daily routine, about our daily life, about our daily duties, that we're going to be a witness for him. As we are doing whatever we do in our life, we're going to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone has said that there are two great commands in the life of a believer. There's first of all the Lord's command for us to come. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. He says, I will give you rest. And the rest he's talking about is a rest from carrying the burdens of our sins. Because we come to him in faith, believing in him, and he lifts that burden of sin off our life. He forgives us. He gives us eternal life. He makes us his children. But then after we respond to that command to come to him, we're faced with his command to go. We're to go. Now this is where a lot of churches, a lot of individuals miss it. A lot of people get the idea that all a church has to do is just open up the doors, kind of put out a sign and say, come on in, you lucky sinners, and get saved. But you know what? If you really study the Bible doesn't approach it that way at all. Amen. The Bible does not say that. The Bible does not teach that sinners are to come to the church. The Bible teaches that the church is to go to the sinners. That's the Word of God. We have somewhere in our mind over the years gotten lazy. And we say, well, we're here. You know, they know we're here. If they want it, they can come get it. Is that what Jesus said? No. He says, go. There's a sign out there before you leave our parking, as you go out, you know, toward the road, you are now entering the mission field. Folks, that's true. Because that is the mission field out there. And as we go, we're to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, people out here that don't know Christ, they don't know what they're missing. They don't understand that. They don't know what Jesus can mean to their life. They don't understand the joy that Jesus brings, the peace that He gives us as believers that we find in knowing the Lord Jesus and having His power and having His presence, having the Holy Spirit of God in our life. They don't understand that. We're to go and let them understand that by their seeing that in our lives, by their hearing that from the words that we tell them. Because they don't understand any of those things. So Jesus says, you go out there and you tell them. You tell them by the words that you speak. You show them by the life that you live, by the way that you live. They should see that Jesus is in your life. Folks, listen. We ought to go, and as we are going, we ought to be in the business of caring about the Great Commission. Of telling people about Jesus. You'd be surprised how many opportunities God will give you if you become a going Christian. I believe with all my heart, if you just go and as you're going on your way, if you'll just take the opportunity to share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be surprised how many people are waiting to hear the message about the Lord Jesus. Because believe it or not, even here in the buckle of the Bible Belt, Middle Tennessee, there are people in Spring Hill, Tennessee, that have never, ever heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They've heard about Jesus, but they don't know anything about Him. They don't know anything about Him. It's our responsibility to tell them who He is. To show them who He is. Now, I agree, there's not every one of them are going to be interested. You're going to find some that are going to shut you out. They want to hear it. Well, you do the best you can do, and you leave that in the Lord's hands. You've done your job. But folks, there's some people you'll run into, and you'll start trying to witness to them, and they'll say, oh, I'm a believer already. I'm a believer in the Lord. Well, you can just have a good time of fellowship with them, and you've met another brother or sister in Christ, and praise the Lord for that. But folks, we are to go, and we are to tell. But sometimes as we go along the way, we're going to find someone whose heart is hurting. They are open and receptive to hear the good news of Jesus. And when they hear the good news of Jesus and they see what they're missing and they see what they need and they receive Him into their life, let me tell you, their lives will never, ever be the same. And your life will never be the same once you help lead somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it is such a blessing to you. Oh, listen, it's time for us, church, to get on the go. It's time for us to, everywhere we go, to be looking for an opportunity to tell someone about the Lord Jesus. I was thinking about what Jesus said to Paul in Acts chapter 18, verse 9, when Paul was in Corinth, and the Lord said to Paul, "Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent. For I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city." Now listen, when the Lord said that to Paul, there was not a huge church in that city. Understand that. There was not a huge church of believers in that city. But what the Lord was saying to Paul is, I'm going to save a lot of people in this city. There's a lot of people in this city, they don't know it yet, but they're going to be my people. And Paul, you have a great responsibility, so don't keep your mouth shut. Don't keep silent, but speak the word of God. I think from that time on, every time Paul walked the streets of the city of Corinth and he saw someone, I think he must have wondered, is that one of the Lord's people? Could that be one that's going to be one of the Lord's people? Folks, listen, every time you walk the streets or you're in the mall, or not the mall, but the shops, the crossings, or you're in a grocery store and you look around at the people that you're meeting in the aisle or whatever, you need to be asking yourself, is that one that the Lord claims? Is that one that I could lead to the Lord Jesus? Is that one whose heart is ready to receive Christ if I would just open up my mouth and share with them the good news of the gospel? Folks, we need to be looking for people. Have you ever noticed that people, the things that people are interested, that's what they notice about you? If you've ever been to a, of course, there's not a lot of them around anymore. I'm telling my age, I guess. 29. Have you ever been around a shoe shop that had a shoe shine man? When you walk by, you notice what he looks at? He looks at your shoes. He sees if they need a shine or not. Hey, I can do something for those shoes there. Why don't you come on over here and I'll give you a good shine. Or if you go by a barbershop, what do they look at? Or a beauty shop, they look at your hair. They have a hard time with me because I don't have any. But they look at your hair and they think, hey, you know, I can give you a good cut. Or I can, if you're a lady, a beautician would say, I can really give you a good do, a fix. I can help you there. What is it? See, I don't know about that stuff. I just have a hard time keeping the hair out of my eyes, you know what I mean? But a good style, I can give you a good style. Once you come on in here, I'll give you a good style and charge you about $150, you know? That's the way it goes. Well, you and I ought to be so interested in telling the gospel of Jesus that as we walk by people, we should look at them and our hearts should be wondering, is that a person right there that needs Jesus? Well, I can tell you the answer is yes. Because everybody needs Jesus. Now, they may already know Jesus, but that doesn't stop you from saying, hey, let me tell you about my Savior. And if they're a believer, then you just rejoice in that, okay? But if they're not, that may be the opportunity that God gives you to share the gospel with someone that may respond in a positive way and receive him into their life. And when they do that, they can understand what it is to have a full and an abundant life of living for the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, every person is an opportunity to tell them about the Lord Jesus. So the number one thing we've got to do is we've got to get on the go, and that's going. But then number two, he says, make disciples of all nations. Well, how do you make disciples? You teach them. You teach them. To make a disciple means that you lead a person to faith in the Lord, and then you begin to teach them to live a growing, a maturing life as a believer. In verse 20, Jesus says, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Now, the verbs here, again, they're imperative verbs. Simply means that they're not something that Jesus is suggesting that we do. It is a command of the Lord Jesus. It's an imperative. It's a command. He commands us to do that. And folks, listen. For us, our response is a matter of obedience or disobedience to the command that he just gave us. Jesus didn't say, now, go and be a witness and teach people about me if you feel like it. That's not what he said. He gave a command, make disciples, teaching them. So if you and I are witnessing or not, it's a matter of either our obedience or our disobedience. It's one or the other. Now, I am very shy by my personality. That's who I am. I'm a shy person. I've always been shy. I remember when I really got involved in church, in our home church, I would go out on visitation, and let me tell you something, I was scared to death. I'm thinking, how am I can't even talk, you know, I don't know, I can't do this. And I would go out, and I'll be honest with you, I would be shaking in my boots. But you know what? The Lord gives you the power to get through those things. He will be there with you. And then one day, the Lord called me to preach. And I'm thinking, Lord, there's no way in the world that I can do that. There's no way. Instead of saying, here am I, Lord, send me, I said, who? Me? Really? You see, when God called me to preach, he had to do something for me. He had to get me the power and the ability to do that. He had to give me, really, he had to remove some fear out of my life. But you see, it was not a matter of me deciding whether or not I was going to do it. It was a matter of me being either obedient or disobedient to the call of God on my life. If I had not surrendered to the gospel, I would have been a disobedient believer. Same thing is true with our witnessing. If we don't witness, and we know that Jesus has called every one of us to be a witness, we're either an obedient believer or we're a disobedient believer. And in the matter of the witnessing, it's not a matter, well, if my personality is leaning toward that direction, then I'll be a witness. No, it's not about your personality, because Jesus can overcome that in your life. Jesus has commanded you and me to be witnesses. So one way or another, we're going to have to find out some way to get involved into this enterprise of sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somehow, some way, we're going to have to do it. And folks, let me tell you something. When you do it and you ask Christ to be with you as you go, His Holy Spirit will be there. He'll be paving the way for you, and He will give you the power and the strength to open up your mouth and start sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, get some training. Get all the tools that you can get to go out to help you do that. Even if you have to take a tract and just read the tract as you go through there, let me tell you something, it is worth it when that person says yes to the Lord Jesus Christ. So you may not be at, you may not have that effervescent kind of personality that some people do, but I'll tell you one thing, if you really want to be an obedient believer, if you really want to obey this command to make disciples, you just have to ask Him to help you to be obedient to that command. And let me tell you something, He will give you the power and the strength to do that. Or I would not be here today. But see, that's where we go astray, because the average church operates kind of like football fans. We're getting close to the Super Bowl, so I think this is an appropriate illustration. Somebody has said that a football game is 22 men in need of rest and 50,000 in need of exercise. Do you know what I'm talking about? Those guys on the field are killing themselves. They're worn out, and everybody in the stadium is You know, they're sitting there. They really need to be out on the field running or doing something to get some exercise because they're out of shape. But yet they're the best coaches that you'll ever see, right? Well, I think sometimes that the church operates the same way. You know, people in the stand, when they're looking at that football team, they're there and they're very... Have you ever noticed how critical football fans are? I'm guilty. We look at that and we say, well, those players are not putting out. They're just not putting, giving 100%. Or that coach, oh, good grief, he doesn't know anything. They need to get rid of that coach. Well, churches operate the same way, you know. Let's see how the preacher do today. Yeah, let's go in there and see if he preaches good enough to get some people down the aisle. Well, if he doesn't, we'll just get rid of him. We'll fire him. Yeah, he ain't doing his job. Well, the thing about it, though, is, folks, Jesus said, not just to the preacher, but to every single person in this room today, you go. You go. That includes me. But you go. See, let me tell you will be able to lead people to Christ that I'll never be able to lead people to Christ. A lot of times if people see that the preacher is coming, they're automatically on the defensive. Oh, that's the preacher. Oh, you know, they put their wall up. But as a believer in the Lord Jesus, as a member of the church, when you go to them, their defenses are down because you're just, they don't see you but just as an average person. And you go share your story with them, you share your witness with them, you share your testimony with them, and they see what Jesus has done in your life and what he's doing in your life. There begin, you pique their attention, you pique their interest, their heart begins to be pricked, and then all of a sudden they realize, I need that too. They would never do that for me. Now there's some people that will, and I've been blessed to be able to do that. But let me tell you something. Usually it's harder for the preacher or a staff member to go to somebody because they automatically put up those walls and they're on their defensive. But it's a lot easier when you go. And that's why Jesus says every one of us are responsible to go. Because folks, it takes all of us. Not just one or two people. Jesus said, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded them. You bring them into the fellowship of a Bible teaching church. You help them to grow and mature in their Christian faith. That's why it's so important when you lead somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ, out in the home or on the job or wherever you may be, is to follow up with them, to show them what the Bible has to say about baptism, to show them the importance of getting involved in a Sunday school class, to get involved in the church and the worship services under the teaching of the Word of God. Because you see, the commandments of our Lord are not merely commandments to be believed, they are commandments to be behaved. Amen. Knowing Christ as our Savior ought to lead us to a better quality of life. It ought to make us better workers on the job. It ought to make us better students at school. It ought to give us a little bit more pleasant disposition. It ought to make us more pleasant to live with. Mike? I'm picking on you, buddy. If Jim was here, I'd be picking on Jim. But you were just the first one in my sight, so I'm sorry. So that's where learning the commands of Jesus comes in. He has given us his power. All power, he says, is given to me, and I give that to you. He's given us his plan, that is, that we're to go and that we're to teach. But then he's given us his presence. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. If you accept his go, folks, you can expect his lo, the personal presence of Jesus with you. He'll be there with you. Why do we daily need the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because he expects us every day to be serving Him. Serving Him. Folks, when we are saved, we are called to serve. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, Paul says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Now, I want to try to give you a picture, a little illustration today about what we are to do when we're talking about serving. Because I want you to think with me about a trash bin and a recycle bin. Before salvation, folks, we were all in the trash bin. You know that? The Word of God says in Isaiah 53:6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way." Psalm 14:3 said, "There is none who does good, no, not one." Isaiah 64:6, "All our righteousness are like filthy rags." Folks, let me tell you something. We were in the trash bin. There was no hope for us because the wages of sin is death. But in salvation, God takes me out of the trash bin, and He puts me in the recycle bin. Every one of us who is saved are being recycled to do the good works of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand that? He takes us out of the trash bin where we were worthless, and He puts us in the recycle bin. He's working on us, changing us to make us being useful in His service. He recycles me so I can do good works that He has prepared in advance for me to do. Where there was once no hope, hope now has come. This recycling service to God, folks, sometimes can be a radical thing. For some of us, it means that we have left our homes, we have changed occupations, we're living away from our families, serving in a pastoral role. Sometimes that's what it means. Sometimes people leave their own nation and go to other nations, become missionaries. But you know what? It can be as simple as simply someone going on a mission trip. It's so simple. Folks, God's salvation is His gift to us. Our service is our gift back to Him. God needs your service in His church. We need people to serve in this church. We need people in the children's ministry, especially teaching, people in the nursery, people in children's church. We need people serving our children. Folks, they are the next generation of believers, and sometimes it's like we don't care about them. But they need people to teach them, to be models to them, to show them how living for Christ is really all about. And folks, God's calling you. That's the whole purpose of this series. Who will do that? I will. I will. I'm willing. And I'm going to close because it's late. I don't want to preach as long as Josh did that one time. Notice that Matthew closes by saying amen. You know what amen means? It means, I agree with that. It's a word of affirmation. Amen, I agree with that. When you say amen when I'm preaching, and you can say it all you want to, by the way. Amen. There you go. You're saying, I agree with that, preacher. So be it. I agree with that. Amen. It's a word of affirmation. So when Jesus gave this great commission, Matthew closes out the gospel by saying, amen, that's the truth. I agree with that. But you know what? It's more than just an affirmation. Matthew wasn't just giving a word of affirmation. He was also giving a word of acceptance. He was saying, amen, I accept the assignment, Lord. I'm just like Isaiah, here I am, Lord, send me. I will, Lord. I'll do this. I'm accepting it. I wonder this morning, as you and I think about this great commission of our Lord, think about going. I wonder if you can say this morning, amen, Brother Jay, I accept the assignment. I accept this assignment. I'm willing. I want to serve. I want to grow. I want to go. I want to give. I want to do all these things. Here I am. I am willing. So let me ask you, will you go? Will you teach? Will you serve? That's what we want, we are asking for. That's what we want. Not because Josh and I want that, because the Lord wants that. We're not asking you to do anything that the Lord hasn't already asked you to do. We're just trying to push it home. And I pray today that you would say, I will. I will grow. I will give. And I will go. Because, Lord, that's what you've called me to do. This morning, though, if you've never been saved, the first thing you need to do is saying, I will come to the Lord Jesus. I will give my heart to Him. I will give my life to Him. I will repent of my sins and accept Him into my life so that I too can accept that assignment that He's got for me. Maybe you need to come and give your life to the Lord this morning. I'd love to share with you how you can do that. Maybe you're here this morning and you need to come and be a part of our church family. You need to join our church. We'd love for you to do that. Maybe you just need to come and pray. The altar's open for you.